get over here in Acts chapter 15. I've been coming up here a long time. And I see the crowd that changes, and it has to. Some folks fall by the wayside. Some folks get exposed for who they are. Other folks get preached out. And there are some preachers that are worse than little kids. If you preach for that fella, you can't preach for me. I tell them to suck an egg that I pastor the Cornerstone Baptist Church, population 69 in town, and that's far more than you want to face at the judgment seat. And I'm thankful for that. I told the church Sunday night, I think I'm there, I don't know, but I think I am, that I've about come to that divorce of public opinion. I want folks to like me, but I understand they're not going to. But I really hope they do, and I want them to. And I don't come just to make anybody mad. The way some of you look, somebody could belch and you'd get mad. But I want to say that I'm glad that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has called me to preach. I know that. I don't know much. I've been told I didn't have an IQ of a snowman. I've been told that all I do is get up and take the ticks and take off. And I told them, it's not the taking off that bothers them. It's where you land at that really disturbs them. I don't know a whole lot, but I just know that one day that I passed from death unto life. I do know that. And that I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am what I am by the grace of God. I do know that. I do know that in me dwell no good thing. I do know that. But I do know, thank God, that this world is not my home. That I'm just a passing through. That my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. When Brother Melby calls us, come down in prayer. I told Brother Walton how easy it is to sing a lie. That this world is not our home. Amen. You can go out there in that parking lot and look what we drove in coming in and find out that we're pretty well in love with ourselves. I mean, we wash the car and even clean up the cars. We want to make sure they are impressed when we pull in. But I want to say that all that really matters is that they know that they have been in a place beyond a shadow of a doubt that the presence of God is real. I tell them at church, the worst thing Baptists learned to do was tell. I mean, they're bored just up and down, just got to pastor a bunch of yo-yos. They hear one Sunday, not hear the next. That board don't bother me a flip. Now, I want them to come. But I want to tell you, we just must always make sure there's one more than telling. We must always make sure that there's an unseen guest at church. We must always make sure that the unseen hand is not unfelt. Hallelujah. I hear them folks all preaching against feeling. Bless God, I'm feeling pretty good. And like it, don't try to take them from me. I used to get high just so I'd feel good. Amen. Thank God I love the good presence of God and the liberty and the worship. And some of y'all are so strange you can't even say amen. Amen. In Acts chapter 15, I started preaching this, and I ain't going to preach very long. I'm going to testify. I tell you one thing. I went down there yesterday and took my pastor to dinner. He was 92 years old yesterday. I said, preacher, I'll break up your garden. I'll mow your yard. I'll do anything you need me to do. I want to tell you, I was headed to the divorce court in hell, and God sent him to preach the gospel to me and save my soul and salvage my family. And I'm a debtor to God. I'm a debtor to the church. I'm a debtor to the man of God. And I took him out to eat yesterday, bought his dinner, stood there and told him how I loved him, and he cried when I left him and was in the car. I took him down the courthouse to get his license. He said something about living long as he's lived. I said, I don't even have no desire to live that long. I will tell you, the course of this world making heaven sweeter all time. Amen. I tell you, the course of the world and the condition of the modern day church makes me desire a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm so tired of going to church like a worm. I'm so tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of it. Oh, thank God every once in a while, Brother Melby. I was sitting there. I looked at congregation over just like you do, and I wonder where the joy is speaking. But I'm telling you, there's something so supernatural.
Yes.
Just get up and walk up there. And sometimes just supernatural anointing of God comes on you. Whether they amen or not, you're just a sailing on. Hallelujah to God. Yes, God, I brought my wife with me. I didn't figure most you'd like it anyway, but she can take it. Acts chapter 15, and in verse 35 there, said Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And so I was reading. I have a great desire in my heart to die right. I really do. I see folks way better people than I have seem like they dropped the ball. I've watched parents, and they'll raise one set of children by one rules, and then they get a little older, and they get soft. All of a sudden, culottes is all right. All of a sudden, riches is all right. Oh, I mean, y'all really look good here this morning. But if we'd see you during the week somewhere where you didn't know anybody's around, I imagine you'd have that slit up your side. I mean, some of you got enough paint on to paint a 57 Chevy and still have enough left to look good. And I've always said that ugly women's all work. And some of you look awful brown for this early. You need a tanning bed, all right, but you ought to have your hind end tans, what you need.
Yes, sir.
And I'm amazed at the point of decay in our society.
Yes,
so I started preaching, I ain't done yet, but I started preaching on how you doing. He said he went back to check out. One of the tragedies, Brother Melvin, is when you preach somewhere in the same place every year, that you get to a point where you don't want to ask when you see somebody missing. You don't know if they kicked out. You don't know if they blowed out. You don't know if they got mad at the preacher. I never have got mad at the preacher if he preaches. I heard an old man say one time, there's two kind of preachers that'll make you want to preach, those that can and those that can't. I said, hallelujah, that's just about right. And I see folks get all upset. We pastored a bunch of folks that have perfect children. I mean, you get the bomb of them children, and them mamas get all upset, and they swell up like a toad, and they'll tell their husband, you know, if you're going to say, hey, man, I'll bust you when we get home, I'd just soon sleep in the attic as have to sleep with some hussy with that attitude. Amen. I mean, how are we doing? So I went back and read about Enoch. I mean, Enoch lived in a society just as wicked and corrupt and perverse and permissive as our day. We can aim all the cannons we want to at the White House, and I tell you, Mr. Bush needs to go somewhere to church where somebody knows something about a Bible and tell them over there that them men are men of war, and they're going to fight and fuss until the Lord says he'll take care of that. And it won't matter how much money we spend, we can't buy friends. I'd take him over Gore. I voted for a whore before I voted for Gore. Amen, that's right. They tell me around there, say, you can't tell people who to vote for. I said, I know, and I tell them who not to vote for. They can surely pick out the rest. But I mean, I went back and studied about Enoch. Only mentioned about three times in Scripture over there in Genesis, mentioned in Hebrews. I mean, he walked with God. He pleased God. You see, something had to happen to Enoch before he could walk with God. We got a lot of folks trying to walk with God who have never experienced the grace of God. I mean, they have learned to jargon. They have learned the rules. They have learned. I'm going to tell you, if all you ever have is rules, you'll end up a rebel. But it takes a relationship with a living Lord to enjoy the preaching of the Word of God. And so Enoch was walking with God. I mean, there had to be an agreement with God. God didn't have to agree with Enoch. Enoch had to agree with God. And a lot of folks trying to get God to agree with them. I mean, Enoch said that, well, I don't agree with God. There's something happened when he was up there in his 60s that he started walking with God. Boy, we had a man at church Sunday. He's up there in his 60s. I mean, he's probably the best lost sinner I have ever met. But as the brother said, that wrath of God is abiding over him, and he needs the Lord. And I told him Sunday, it's really encouraged to find out you may have dropped the ball for 65 years, but there's still hope in changing the direction of your life and going with God. Hey, if it wasn't, I'd just go get me some antiques and get rich. I mean, you got to have an agreement with God. I wonder if we ever think about our spiritual course. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to be on the course God's on. And I ain't talking about the golf course. As far as I'm concerned, I just count Pastor Poole. And I ain't against golfing. I'd rather go to the flea market and make money. Amen. But I am telling you something. It's a tragedy in our day. Folks come to church 3 times a week and never cross their mind the spiritual condition that they're in. I mean, just so they're putting a little money into play. I know a lot of preachers that's got locked jaw. I mean, they've got locked jaw because their wife told them to have it. I'm going to tell you, boys, over there in Timothy, there's a whole lot more in that scripture than just the husband of one wife. I know a lot of men who can't even pastor their wives, let alone the church. And you'd be surprised how many hen peckers I'm preaching to. I was up there in New York the other day, and I told a fella, a big old high fence, and I said, see that fence right over there? I guarantee you'd jump it if your wife told you to. Amen, that's right. I believe you ought to love your wife like Christ loved the church. I believe you ought to be good to her. I believe you ought to serve her. I fix my wife breakfast in bed. Amen, that's right. And if I invite company over, and I invite them, I said, I've even put a tip on the plate. It's amazing to me some of y'all go down there to them restaurants. That woman's got her dress way up past her knees, slits up the slide. You do know slits is for sluts. And way up the side, and you'll treat her just as nice and kind and leave her a big tip. And your wife, you invite a bunch over to the house, and your wife just forget one thing, and you act like it's a crime. Amen. I will tell you, I believe the greatest reward in heaven will be for good, godly, holy preacher's wives. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, it's pretty tough to go down there to the house of God 3 times a week if you're not walking with God and see your husband shot at. Yeah. Of course, some of you got such a long jaw, you went down there in Midas and got a muffler put on yours. You can't roar about nothing. And you get shot at and cussed, and the phone rings, and she walks through town to say, there she is, and there she is. She don't even have a name. Oh, I preached for one fella. His wife just run her mouth all week. And I finally told him, I said, if you're ever going to do anything, old church, you're going to tell your wife to shut her mouth and quit trying to defend you all the time and walk with God. Amen. I preached for one fella, and every time we started to go out the door, his wife would say, don't take my car. That Wednesday, I told him to let her take the car and go where it don't even snow. We'll just drive a car out of God. Amen. I'm talking about walking with God. Do you ever think about your spiritual condition? You see, we can get so programmed to come into church, we don't have a bulletin, and we'd have a heart attack if we had one. But if we ever wrote down every Sunday what we do, we're just as programmed as a Catholic. We've got to have a certain song. We've got to do this and do that. I tell you, I like it sometimes where the wind just blows from another world, and the only way you can explain it is God was at church. I like it. I mean, spiritual condition. You see, we blame the White House. We blame the perverts. I'm telling you what, they're wicked, perverted bunch. We can blame everything on the sun, but I'm going to tell you the major problem in America is what I'm doing right now. Preaching. I mean, most folks get their counsel from folks on TV like Charles Stanley. And I told the church that they ought to change that program to out of touch instead of in touch. He is a liar. God don't bless liars. He has just proved what you can promote and organize in America. We got a bunch of clones. We was talking about it at dinner, at breakfast. We got a bunch of clones in America. I mean, I remember when Jack House, he helped corrupt this nation. And I will tell you, you can find out them boys are coughing. They just cough like cows. And I love Brother Melby, but you know it's the truth. There's some folks trying to shake their hand like him. You ought to know you can't do it. You ought to hook up with his God. Amen. I mean, I tell you, there's some folks that, when the little kids at church, they'll imitate me for a while. I didn't go over too good, did it? Tell the truth. Well, if it's wrong for Hiles, it's wrong for me or wrong for you. Amen. I never have had anybody try to imitate me yet. But I'm telling you, our spiritual condition. Do we ever think about, having to face God Almighty? I wonder if you knew, if you had to face God this morning, I wonder what about that wardrobe? I really wonder about it. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't just breeches and skirts and culottes. There's some women wear a dress and look like a whore. I preached for a fellow about 20 years ago in Cleveland. And he called me about a week ago on Tuesday or something, said he'd be cutting through. Well, first of all, I knew I couldn't preach him because he probably wouldn't even have a Bible.
Amen about that.
Now, I'm going to tell you, boy, fellow visiting church, he got upset one night at me. And he said, I won't talk. He said, do you really think that that Bible is the one Paul had? I said, no, but I think Paul's here tonight. He'd had it. Yeah, I know that. I know it's right. And so when he got to church, I didn't check his Bible. His wife opened the car door. Here's the first word she said. She said, do you accept people like this? She was throwing them breeches at me. Now, I wanted to say, I hadn't seen her in 20 years. That must have mean she really got burnt. Still be smoking after 20 years. I wanted to say, yeah, we accept sinners like they are. But I didn't want to stoop to her level. I said, just go on in, ma'am, and sit down. And my wife and I, she fixed the pie for them, didn't know there's diabetics, and took them over to the house, didn't know that, offered to put them up for the night, offered to do everything we could for them. She said, I want to see the first problem they do when they come to our house and they start looking around, there ain't no television. And they get all, I didn't get rid of her three times, I got rid of her one time. And some of you, oh, some of you, you come over here last night and worshiped God and went back to the motel in West Hollywood. You are a dumb idiot. And I'm being nice. I mean, you just walk around. And some of you fellas would have a heart attack if they cussed out there in a restaurant like they cussed in your living room. I was in a lost man's house not long ago, and the whole picture was black, folks. And I mean, it's just like a jungle. And he said, I don't want my kids going down to that public school of them black people. I said, what about your living room with them? Amen. Now, this one's really going to go over the next one. I mean, I'm going to tell you something far worse than television. The internet. Man told me, he said, now you can't say nothing about the internet. I said, it wouldn't put me up in. Oh, it's technology. Why, the pornography crowd say they're going to have to go out of business. And we say, hallelujah, but the problem is they're bringing it all in on the internet. Homes being wrecked, everything. Why, you say you can just hook up to a library somewhere. Yeah, you can hook up to a bedroom somewhere. You say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, maybe you're not, but I'm going to tell you something. There's still something out of Bible about that man of God being that example. And all I got to do is get the internet at the Cornerstone Baptist Church and 90% of the crowd I have it in a week. All my wife's got to do is just peel off. She's done more to help the ladies than my preaching ever has. I'll tell you what I've done. I've made them mad. I told them, that's God. I said, some of y'all put 5 pounds of sausage to 2 pounds size and wobble down the street. No wonder people look at you. And I told them the other night, one woman come in, her dress wasn't real just right. And I told them, I said, if you men want somebody to quit looking at your wife's back, tell her, cover it up. I'd hate to think my wife was so ugly that I could send her down the street half naked and nobody would whistle. Ever think about where we're at? I had these folks say, well, we're praying about where to go to church. I will tell you what, in the average town, you don't have to pray about it. They hardly know where to go. And it probably ain't over one preaching station in the town. And if you're blessed where there's two preaching stations, you are blessed. You ought to be up doing handstands right now. But I'm telling you, from the front door of the Cornerstone Baptist Church, you take a gun and 70-mile radius, and there ain't a church I'd put my wife in, let alone if I had kids. And I ain't being no Pharisee. I'm just telling you, I am sick and tired. I'm telling you, that man was right about the interlude. We've got folks so educated, they preach clear around the Scriptures. I mean, they can talk for an hour and a half and never stumble over nothing. Now, if a feller ignorant as I am can fall over, surely under God, y'all could hit something once in a while. You ever think about it? You ever think about your spiritual condition before God? I'm going to tell you what it is. We're so cleaned up on the outside, but we're full of envy and jealousy and strife and malice. Camp meetings are eaten up with flesh. They ain't nothing but a parade of flesh for the most part. Well, if he's going to preach him, I ain't coming back. Some of you look like you come back, you'll be about your wife. And they go, you know, old Brother Melvin, he should know better than to call. I'm telling you, Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. I saw my man of God 92 yesterday. I mean, his birthday, about 5 or 6 cars. Preached for all them years, 5 or 6 cars. I said, my God, I'm glad I told my wife that we went down there and took him out. We had a lost man in town. I think he's a reprobate, but I don't know who they are. I just preached all of them. God will separate them. I mean, the Bible said the Lord knows his own. Van Chandler Wells said, it's a good thing he does, because I can't hardly tell them apart sometimes. And my wife and I was having an anniversary. I told her, I said, instead of me taking you out, let's go out, let's do something for somebody else on an anniversary, because if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have no anniversary. Some of you women don't like that, do you? Oh, you'll just get your big fat lip back up on your mouth. So I went down and got the biggest heathen in town. I said, I want you to come up here to the house. We had some good beans and cornbread. We're going to have some good slaw. We want it. Well, I don't know. I said, get in the car, let's go. Took him up there. He had a hard time omitting his good. I'd take him supper to him. He said, I can't get nobody to mow my yard. No wonder it's so full of hell. Nobody can please him. So I took my boy up there. He wasn't very old. I said, son, this is a mission project. Some of y'all trying to raise missionaries. When are you going to start letting them be a mission project? Took him up there. I said, son, mow the yard. Dad, take care of it, mow the yard. And he had made 3 rounds. The fellow come out of the house. Said, they ain't mowing it right. I said, you shut up and go back in the house. You can't get nobody to mow it anyway. And if you don't like how we mow it, let it get over the windows. Now, shut up. He went back in the house. We mowed the yard. I'm telling you, y'all think about your spiritual bit. I'm glad, thank God, that I took my boy to all kind of preaching. I mean, I took him. One time we called a fast at church. And I told him, if you don't pray and fast, don't come to prayer meeting. If you'd rather go to a ball game, I don't have no problem. Just go dribble your ball, but don't come here. Well, it's Christian school call. Said, you don't have to come after your son. Wasn't very old, Brother Melvin, probably about 8 or so. And I said, what's the trouble? Say, puking everywhere. I said, he is. They said, yeah, we told him, get him some crackers or something. He said, I came. Dad's called a fast at church, and I've got to get to the prayer meeting. Ain't bad, is it? I remember when Brother Percy Ray was at the house, and he'd say, what time that little boy get home? I said, about 3. And Brother Ray said, let him preach when he gets here. That'll get me ready to go to church. And he had a little bitty old pulpit when he was 7 years old. And he had preached on that old fear man. And he got married last year. And I said, son, if you have enough guts, when you get a big office, you ought to put that pulpit right in the middle of it, plywood, 2x4s and all, and don't forget your old counsel. So you used to be a lot straighter than you are now. But your crowd's a little bigger. And you know, I mean, you know in your heart, there's just some subjects that's off limits. You just take the subject of divorce in this generation. And I'm not down anybody, but I'm telling you it's wrong and out of hell. And the church has approved sin. Let them come down two or three times and have weddings in the church, shack up, bastard babies in the church giving showers, and you know good and well that if you don't do that, no. I mean, you ever think about your spiritual condition? I believe the worst, I'm talking about me and you, that the worst condition of America is the conditions of the pulpits who have locked jaw, they are silent, they're dumb dogs, they can't bark. And they're crucifiers and bite the dust. You ever think about it? You ever do anything about what you think about? Now, here's a major problem, Brother Melby. We don't mind going to Hereford's. But we don't want anybody enforcing it. You see, that's why I get in trouble at church. Well, I tell them, I say, now, if you're going to do that, you can't do this. And then you start enforcing it. And then some of you got a little crowd. If you got one more than we got, well, you know, great preach like me, they'd have more. I mean, I preach the Bible. I had a fellow one night, he said, what are you going to preach? And I said, I'm going to preach on how to dodge a log. He said, what? I said, I'm going to preach on how to dodge a log. Watch. We're at a funeral down there and all the masons sitting over there. And I said, I didn't know we had needed purpose today. I'd have got me a purpose before I come. I'll be oh, man, they went outside and got in the group. One of them told me, said, we ought to whip him. The other said, I don't know if we can. I'm sure they could, but they're cowards. I mean, you have to look that congregation over and see all the condition that sets before us. I'm going to tell you, there's an absence of burden on the man of God in our generation. I tell you, we've got folks, I mean, I've got folks in every shape of a son. I've been preaching to the same deacon on the front row going on 25 years. He's never been off the front row. He's never been mad. And ain't many preachers could have sat there that long. But he's been spit on and slapped and done everything. I was preaching one place and I got kind of wound up and I grabbed up him and I said, amen. And after church he told me, he said, I'm going to see you outside. I said, well, I did have a student. Why don't you just tell the whole church and let them judge it? And I said, he said, well, I didn't like you grabbing me. I said, fella, we got women over church tougher than you are. I mean, it's about, I want to die right. He said, let's go back and see how they are. If there's any one thing but America, I want, when I die, I want my boys to walk past that church and say, Daddy died something. Daddy was still preaching. Daddy hated sin. I tell you what I told him. You see, I plumbed one wrong. Pretty hard to raise somebody for God and rock festivals in a drunken bar. And I'm going to tell you, young parents, something, if you could get it, it'd help you. But it's a whole lot harder to unplumb what you plumb than plumb it right. And I tell you what I told them. When I got right with God and started trying to walk with God and honor God, family turned against us. Didn't get invited to the family reunion. Didn't have to worry about being cut out of the wheel. Nobody ever had anything, our family. That's a blessing. Some of you can't even get past the wheel. I mean, they have family reunion on Sunday. You say, now pray for me, preacher. I'm going to have to go to fast. I said, I pray you get diarrhea is what I hope. I hope you get diarrhea and the runs and nothing stops you. I tell mine, you go deer hunting on the Lord's Day. I hope you get up in that stand, get the squirts, no hope of you shooting a gun.
Amen.
Amen.
You know it's right. Well, you know you ought to say that in church. They heard worse than that in the car on the way to church. Oh, you're trying to kid. I told my boy, I said, now son, a lot of things you don't understand. I appreciate my wife. She stayed with me. And I ain't even always been right in my decisions. But you see, a few women would learn if they're wrong, they'll have to answer to God for it. It ain't on you. You can really enjoy life a lot better. I said, son, I'll tell you how it is. I'd rather you hate me now and love me later. I'd rather you hate me now and love me later. I'd rather down the road somewhere that you look back and said, Daddy wasn't mad as I thought he was. I'm sure I embarrassed him at times. I preached up to Christian school and finally took me out. Some of you'd take me out of here if it wasn't for Brother Melby. But I can tell you one thing, if I can get to the car, we'll square it up. I preached up to that Christian school. And parents were writing notes. Said, if my five preachers don't let my son go to chapel. You ought to go check where them kids are at today. One of them was the closest acquaintance I ever had. I said acquaintance. Left me over his daughter. Treated my wife like a fool in the store. Said, it's all my fault. I wasn't dipping my colors for him or her. And I'm going to quit here. We got 8. It's 12 o'clock. I want to remind you. He said, let's go back and see how they're doing. I told our folks Sunday, I said, some of you parents are such hypocrites sitting in here. You don't even believe what I preach, number one. And number two, you put requirements on your children you can't even line up with. You know what's happening in the Christian school movement? Are you listening? I'm for it. We support 26 kids at church to keep them out of the Philistines in Egypt. We support 26. Somebody said, well, that ain't missions. I'm going to tell you what, if we don't salvage them young, we won't have anything to send anywhere else. Keep them away from the Philistines. But I look at them kids, and while I'm preaching, they know Daddy likes that music. They know that in their wardrobe, there's things that ain't right. I agree with everything the brother said, but I tell you what, tell mine. If you ain't got no convictions, you better ride me. You get some, you will be in a mess. You can't go to heaven on, but it sure might get you around preaching and get you in. And he's right. I want to remind us that if all we ever do is trust the school, you will end up with children with outward conformity and no Holy Ghost to guide. He is a preacher. I thought about Mr. Borders that sat there 5 out of the last 6 Sundays and listened to me. He told me one day, he said, preacher, I love you. I said, I appreciate you doing that, but that ain't enough.
That's right.
While he's a preacher, I said, oh, God, I wish you could break in on Mr. Borders today.
Yeah, break it on.
I was over in Eastern Kentucky preaching, and a fellow took me up to the house. He said, now, this man's mean. I said, I can do better with him. Raise where I raise, you ain't going to scare me. I went up there and I said, sir, I'm preaching down here in the hall and I'd like for you to come. He said, I believe I will. And I thought, man, they're asking. I said, you understand? He said, yeah, I'll come tonight. And I said, you mind praying prayer with you? He said, no. And I can't believe I done this. But I went over there and that man was in a rocking chair, Brother Melvin, and I bowed down between his knees, got my head clear out of the chair. Well, I started crying out to God and telling him, I remember when I was lower in the rug. And I said, God, you lifted me out of the dunghill. You can do it for this fellow in the chair. I said, God, you can reach down there in that rocker just like you reached down the dunghill and got me. And I said, oh, God, make that screen door scream lost when he goes out. He tries to lay on that bed and make them springs shriek. Them mountaineers knew what a spring was. And he come that night and cried out to God and found mercy. I want to say we need to think about our direction. I mean, let's go back and see how they're doing. Let's just go back and see if we're really as old-fashioned as we think we are. If we was 10% old-fashioned as we think we are, there'd be a revival in this building. Why, if sin had an odor, we'd have to exit just to get breath. There's folks in here that don't even like each other. I told the church, I said, if I could ever get the women to get along like the men, I'd be a preacher. I've got men, we have 20-something men in the prayer room on Sunday night. And they go down, we'd go downstairs, and for a while we'd just sit around there. And I mean, they talk to each other and have a good time. I mean, they kid things they say. If it's women, they'd be fighting. You have women can't even speak and come to church to worship God. We have preachers that don't like each other. Strife and jealousy and malice. You're looking at one bird that never has been preached out. I don't have to agree with everything you like, but I'll tell you one thing. If you preach that Bible, I say amen. I mean, there's churches all around me I wouldn't go to, but if somebody gets saved, I say amen. That's what Paul said.
Amen.
If it's good enough for him, good enough for me, I just ain't going to it. I told him, get saved and get out of there is all I know, because you'll die or run. We ought to really examine ourselves. It's pretty easy to examine that. I don't believe that preacher's nailing it like he used to. I wonder if we nailed it like we used to. We have that ladies' day, and really the only bomb we've ever had when I preach. It's the biggest disaster, I tell you what. It was bad. I just can't run from the kitchen to the pulpit. I can't do it. And I tried. I worked out. I dropped the ball. I said, I ain't preaching no more of them. I wonder if you're tagging her down like you did a few years ago. You don't have to preach like me. You'd be a fool. Try it. Most of you ain't got enough shape to do it. If you just preach the preaching God bids you, we'll be well.
Amen.
I wonder if your home's as tight as it was 5 years ago. All you got to do is crack that door an inch. And the rest of them take care of itself. I wonder if our devotions are like they used to be. We got a young girl in our church, 23, 24. She's got cancer. Starts tomorrow, radiation, total body. We went over the other night. She loves my wife like a second mother. She said, Preacher, I've prayed a long time. But she said, through this, I found out how to pray. I heard my wife say when she had cancer, it made her a better Christian. Prosperity's never helped anybody. It's a snare to the flesh and a pull of the world. And I think you ought to pay the preacher. I think he's worth double honor. I think you ought to respect him. All that. But we all got way too much. I drove up here in a new car, told the church, I said, I wouldn't even buy it. I've told them 100 times. 9,000 miles in 9 weeks. I have to go a long way to preach. I like that local preaching, but it's hard to come by. In these last 6 or 8 weeks, Brother Walton, as I studied just walking with God, found out, Brother Melby, there's some areas in my life I feel like I've let slip. Hadn't been for that book, I'd never known it. Hadn't been for that. And it's pretty easy just to jump up and run out there and eat. But oh, if there could be a divine inventory of our soul, to find out we've let more slip than we think. Thank you.